the world of Yeshiva University and the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Theological Seminary. A lot of yahrzeits. The yahrzeit of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, yahrzeit of Dr. Belkin, yahrzeit of the Rav coming up. Not long after that, the yahrzeit of David Lifshitz, both the 30th anniversary. There will be a special program for the Rav's 30th yahrzeit on the Monday after we come back from Pesach. There's Niftar on Pesach. We'll have not exactly an Azkara because it's the month of Nisan, but a special program in appreciation. And that'll be the Monday afterwards. But yearly, starting with Rabbi Lamb, there's always an opportunity to bring together some of our esteemed members of our administration, the Rosh Yeshiva, and others to have a lecture in memory of Dr. Belkin and to also mark the yahrzeit of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. I would thank our president for his words of Torah this morning, except for the fact that I know that this is probably the thing he enjoys most in everything that he does. And the laugh behind me assured that as a colleague, a friend, fellow administrator, former shul rabbi, everything else that he does. And for that, we thank you for everything else that you do to keep this place going 24/7 pales compared to the opportunity to teach Torah and to teach Torah to some of the greatest Talmidim and the greatest young fellows that our community has. That is his pleasure and our pleasure to be able to join him in his words of Torah this morning. So we invite the president of REITS and the president of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, for his shiur this morning. Awesome.
Dus, Roshei Yeshiva, deans, my dear friend, Rabbi Dr. Dobrinsky here with us, our mashkichim, members of our faculty, members of the Belkin family who are with us, our trustees and lay leaders, and of course, our dear students. When I was a student at Yeshiva University over 30 years ago, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb would deliver an annual yahrzeit shiur around this time, which commemorated both the yahrzeit of the great Gadol Hador of the 19th century, in whose memory the yeshiva was named, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, and even more closer to home, in memory of his predecessor, Rabbi Dr. Samuel Belkin. Rabbi Dr. Belkin was a classic Talmud Chacham in his learning. He was an impressive scholar of the philosophy and Jewish thought of late antiquities, and he was an educational visionary. Under his leadership, the yeshiva and the college transitioned to become Yeshiva University and expanded to include several new programs in graduate schools, including Furkoff, Wurzweiler, and Cardozo. We owe so much of who we are today due to the leadership of Dr. Belkin. And I feel this sense of Hakaras HaTov quite personally. When I was sitting shiva for my father, Irene Kaparat Mishkavo, in November, a visitor brought with him my father's graduation yearbook. My father graduated in 1962 and was the president of Yeshiva Student Council. And the visitor brought the yearbook to show me the picture of my father in the book. And this was the picture. See, Dr. Belkin asked the Student Council president to create a celebration to mark YU's 75th year anniversary. So the picture was my father standing next to Dr. Belkin, together with the Stern College Student Council president, Rosalie Bayer, which is my mother. Dr. Belkin was their shadchan. Set up my father and mother and introduced them, actually, one to the other. So when I stand here today in the same proverbial place as Rabbi Dr. Lamb, to honor the memory of Dr. Belkin, who was the shadchan of my parents during this year in Avelos, there is so much history, both institutionally and personally. And it moves me to discuss with you, our dear Talmidim, the foundational idea on which this place is built. And I think it will surprise you. What does Yeshiva University stand for? What is our foundational idea? And how does it shape your time here during your years and throughout your lives? I want to develop my answer to these questions through an exploration of the essential mitzvot of Liel Seder on Seder night. Allow me to explain. So on Seder night, as we know, there are a number of mitzvot aseh from the Torah that we would do. Let's start during the time of the Mikdash. If you look at source number one, what are the mitzvot aseh that we do on Liel Seder? So of course we know, as just showed in the list in the Rambam, you eat the Karban Pesach, Matzah Mara, which is very connected to the Karban Pesach. We tell the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a separate mitzvah of matzah. Ostensibly, these mitzvot exist independent of each other, and you'll find them listed separately in the Sefer HaMitzvot. But we also know that they're very much connected. How do we know that they're connected? So, of course, if you look at source number two, when Hashem tells us that we need to eat the Karban Pesach, you eat the Karban Pesach together with the matzah and the mar, and that's, we know that we do like Hillel, Zech LeMikdash Kehillel, how Hillel ate his Karban Pesach. We eat the Karban Pesach with the matzah and the mar on the one side, and also with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the other. How do we know that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is connected to the mitzvot? So we know the Medrash that's placed in the Haggadah, relevant for today. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Medrash suggests in source number three, Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that we do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tamalomer Bayom Ahu, Vigadat Alavincha Bayom Ahu. You're supposed to do it on that day, so not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So I would have thought, Yachol Mi Bod Yom, that maybe it's on the day. Tamalomer Ba'avor Zeh. Ba'avor Zeh Lo Amarti El B'Shah Sheish Matzor Mar Menachem Lefanach. The Pasuk says that Vigadat Alavincha Bayom Ulemor Ba'avor Zeh. Asa Hashem Li V'Tzeisi Mi Mitzrayim. So the father's telling his son, Ba'avor Zeh, Asa Hashem Li. So what's he pointing to when he says, Ba'avor, Ba'avor Zeh? It must be, the Medrash says, that the matzah and marar is placed literally before you when you're saying Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is over the matzah and the marar. So we see that these mitzvos are interconnected. What we have not yet seen, which will be the focus of this year, is the interconnection between Karban Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That all these mitzvot are connected with one another, even the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So where do we see that connection? So if we look at source number four, does anybody have source sheets? Okay, so if you look at source number four, we will get there by studying the Manishtana a little bit. So in source number four, we have the quote of the Manishtana as it appears in our Mishnayos, in our Gemara the Vilna Shas. Mazgulo kosheni v'kan aben shol aben. For the second cup, here the son asked the father, "B'mein das b'ben av b'malamdo the manishtana." What is the manishtana? Manishtana alayla ze mikol alaylos. Shabachol alaylos anu achlim chametzu matza alayla ze kulu matza. Shabachol alaylos anu achlim shay yirakos alayla ze mar. Shabachol alaylos anu achlim basar tzali shalak umavushal alayla ze kulu tzali. Shabachol alaylos anu matbilim pamachas alayla ze shte pa'amin. The manishtana. This is the same as the manishtana that we read today, that you're reading in your Haggadah? No. What's different about this manishtana than the one you read in the Haggadah? One that's found in the Mishnah? Again? So if you look at the third manishtana in the Mishnah, it says Shabachol Halelos Anu Achlim Basar Tzali Shalakum Mavushal Halel Zeh Kulo Tzali, meaning that we eat the Karban Pesach, it's all roasted. So why is it that we not say this one at the Haggadah? Because we no longer eat the Karban Pesach. We replaced it with leaning, with a seba. It's very important to know when it comes to the Haggadah that the Haggadah isn't the Torah, it's the Haggadah. So you have paragraphs that were added in and taken out. I have a friend who every year he likes using the Rambam's Haggadah. Because in the Rambam's Haggadah, he could skip, you know, you don't have to say the Dayenus and the Makos of Kriyas Yamsu. So this year his grandchildren are coming over. They like the song, so he's going to have to use regular Haggadah. But the point is that the Rambam's Haggadah is different. Why is the Rambam's Haggadah different? Because these paragraphs were put in at a different time and place other than the Rambam. Or take the psukim of Shvo Chamascha that we recite. Shvo Chamascha was added after the Crusades in Ashkenaz, you know, in a time when we were thinking about the vengeance that Hashem would bring upon our enemies. So the different minhagim, places and history of origin, it's not all the same Haggadah. And the Manishtana was revised. So the Manishtana in the Mishnah and the Vilna Shas included Karban Pesach. After the Churban, there's no need to recite the Karban Pesach. So they switched it with a Seba. What is the answer to the four questions that the son asked in the Mishnah? What is the answer? Lefi daito shal ben ava malamdo, going back to source number 4. Matchil bignusu masayim b'shevach. V'doresh merami oven avi ad shiig merkola parsha kula. We begin with the shameful parts and with the happy parts. Mahogas ravishmul, what that is. And we're doresh merami oven avi until the end of the parsha. That's the answer of the manishtana as we have in the Mishnah. And then afterwards, in the next Mishnah, we're told, Rabbi Gamliel haya omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "Kosh lo amar shlosha dvaram elu b'Pesach lo yatzei dechavaso." Anyone who doesn't say these three things on Pesach is not fulfilling his obligation. Ve'eluhein Pesach matzah umar. And he goes on to list Pesach al shum shepasach amakom abatei avasenim b'mitzrayim, matzah al shum shenigulu avasenim b'mitzrayim, mar al shum shemaru amitrim etchay avasenu b'mitzrayim. Okay, Mishnah we all know. The answer, Dorish Rami Ovid Avi, Matzul Begnusum Messiah B'Shevach, and then Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, you need to say these three things, or you're not Yotze Chavas. Now, interestingly, there is an earlier manuscript of the Mishnah. There is an earlier manuscript of the Mishnah. That we have, or the earliest complete manuscript of the Mishnah that we have from the 10th, 11th century is the Kaufman manuscript. And it's very interesting. You can find it online and uncovering all of Shas. And it's very interesting if you compare the Manishtana as it appears in the Kaufman manuscript versus what it looks like in your classic Vilna Shas. So let's read it together. If you look at source number 6, read it together. Manishtana alayla zeh. This is just in the middle of the Mishnah. Everybody have it on the second page? Middle of the Mishnah. Manishtan alavzeh mikol alaylos. Shebechol alaylos anu matzbilim afilu pamachas. The nukuros were put actually later on. One wasn't by the same author. Or scribe. Anu matzbilim afilu pamachas. Alayla zeh shtei pamim. Shebecholos anu ochlim chameitzu matzah. Alayla zeh kulu matzah. Shabacholos anu achlim baser tzali shalakum avushal laila zeh kulo tzali. Afi daito shomen avim lamdo matzlo begnusum esayim meshevach v'darshim merami ovin avi achu gomer kolo parsha. What's different about this manashtana? What is different about this manashtana? You guys see? Okay. Order. And what else? So is it, that's very interesting. Is there no question about the Mara? Actually, the first question, Amatzbilim, is about the Mara. It's very important. The Mara and ours have sort of a double question. Amatzbilim is that we're Matzbil in the Mara. It's very important. What else is different about this manishtana than the one that appears in the Vilna Shas? Yeah. Somebody's holding up their hands for number three. Notice that the four questions in the earliest version of our complete Mishnah actually are only three questions. There are only three questions. The number three, when we think of the Haggadah, the primary number we think about is the number four. Actually, earlier it could have been three is the primary number. There'll be perhaps another shir. But the Manishtana, it seems like, were three questions. What were the three questions about? Mar, Matzah, and Pesach. Mar, Matzah, and Pesach. Those were the three questions. Now, with that in mind, just keep on reading a little further. So after the Mishnah says, "Afi daito shaben avu malam do matzah b'nusu m'sayim b'shevach, v'darshim rami yomiravi, achu goma kol parsha," Rabbi Gamliel Omer, "Kosh lo amar shosha dvaram elu b'pesach lo yatzi yedei chavaso, Pesach matzah murim." How is that different than our Mishnah? A very subtle difference. It's very important. Again, there is a Mara versus Marim that actually is true. That has been, I see that a little interchangeably. I wonder if there's a difference there. That's good. Any other subtle differences in Rabbi Gamliel's statements or in the way the Mishnah records this? Again? Kips? Kips for Elohein? Okay, I didn't notice that. Kips for Elohein? Nice. Okay, good. Kips for Elohein, what else? Does it change the order? How does it? Does it change the order? I didn't notice that. Pesach Matzah Mar, it's not the same in the... Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, somebody says Marar instead of Mar. I wonder if there's some difference there. That's interesting. Doesn't say the psukim? What does it mean by anu matzbilim? You're saying before in the manashtana? That's when you dip the mar. So there's two different versions. Either ein anu matzbilim or anu matzbilim. It's a good pickup. The two different versions. Okay, good. There's one word. It's so subtle. That's missing in Rabbi Gamliel. Haya. Who said Haya? Haya. Mishnah, as it's listed in the Vilna Shas, it says Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. But here it says Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Why is that so important that there's no Haya? So the Haya changes the context of Rabbi Gamliel. Is it makes it clear in the Haya that Rabbi Gamliel isn't responding to the Manishtana. The answer to the Manishtana is Yidorei Sharami Oviravi. The child asks the questions, you answer by doing Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, by telling the story. And then Rabbi Gamliel used to say, as a separate part, he used to say that you also have to say these three things. Without the Haya, you can read the Mishnah as a machlokes. The machlokes, how do you answer the Manishtana? Do you answer the Manishtana by being Doresh Harami Obiravi? Or is the central answer to the Manishtana what? Pesach Matzah Mar. Why would Pesach Matzah Mar be the essential answer to the Manishtana? Because what was the Manishtana? It was Pesach Matzah Mar. The Rebbe Gamliel is saying that you need to answer the Manishtana and Pesach Matzah and Mar. And I think this is significant because I think we could piece together a shita of Rebbe Gamliel about Lel Seder. If you look at source number 7, Mishnah tells us Rebbe Gamliel had 3 different kulot that the Chachamim argued against him. I'm assuming it's for our purposes, it's Rebbe Gamliel of Yavne, meaning all the same Rebbe Gamliel. Afu amar shosha dvar mahakel, v'osin gedima kulos b'leilei psachim, v'chacham mosrin. Rebbe Gamliel, after the Chorban, would have a gedima kulos. What's a gedima kulos? The gedi, the lamb with all the intern, you know, roasted in the way that they would do it in the time of the Karban Pesach. He would do that even after the Chorban. And the Chachamim said it was Asr. Now it wasn't just Rebbe Gamliel. If you look at source number 8, we're told in the Gemara Psachim and in the Tosefta and other places that Todos Ish Romi, Hinig at Bnei Romi Lechol Gedia Mukulasim B'Lel Psachim. That Todos, from Rome, would direct all of the Jews in Rome to eat on Pesach night the roasted lamb on the night of Pesach, like the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. Shulchulo, the Chazal, the Chachamim sent him El Mole Todos Ata. If you weren't such a great person like Todos, we would put you in Cherem. Lecham said, we can't do that. It looks like you're eating Kachem B'chutz. You're roasting an animal after the Chorban in Rome. But Todos, Ish Romi, would follow after Rebbe Gamliel and direct all of the Jewish citizens, all the Jewish population of Rome, to act in this way. I have to tell you that personally, this brisa really hit home on this winter when I traveled with the Strauss scholars to Rome. And you have a real sense when you're standing in Rome of what was actually going on. And when I was in Rome, the students and I went to the one Jewish day school. One Jewish day school, and I was there when they let out. And all you have these hundreds of kids, you know, elementary school, junior high school, running out in the street, parents, all in the Jewish ghetto. You know, parents gathering them, they're walking home. And I said to the head of school, where are they from, all these kids? Where's their country of origin? And he said, what do you mean? Many of them date their origins from 70, from the Chorban. And these are the families that came here and they lived here. And you think about when we were in Rome and the Arch of Titus, like Todos Ish Romi, can you imagine being a Jew in Rome after the Churban, in the shadow of the Arch of Titus? After you saw the Kelim of the Mikdash, you know exactly where they are. And saying, we're going to have a Korban Pesach now. Not just to remember the past, but as a statement about our belief in the future. So that's the Shita of Rebbe Gamliel about the Korban Pesach, that even after the Korban, you can't lose the Korban Pesach. Further, interestingly, if you look at source number 9, Tosefta tells us on the halachos, he said, Chayav Adam La'asok B'Hilchos Pesach Kol HaLayla. Tosefta says, you need to learn all the halachos of Pesach, the Korban Pesach, all night. Afilo Beino Leben Beno, Afilo Beino Leben Atzma, Afilo Beino Leben Talmido. Turn the page to 3. Maisa Barami Gamliel is a Kenem Shay Mesubim Bebeit Baisos Ben Zonin Belud. Vayu Asukan Belchas Pesach Kol Halayla. Ad Krote Gever Igbiyam Lefnein of Anad of Hochel and the Beit Midrash. That Rabbi Gamliel and the elders would be reclining and Lud, and they'd be learning the laws of Pesach all night until the rooster crowed and they had to go to the Beit Midrash. Now we know that learning karbanos, as the Gemara says in source number 10, kola osek b'toras chatas kilu hikriv chatas, kola osek b'toras asham kilu hikriv asham. When you can't do it, you learn it as if you did it. That's what Rabbi Gamliel did. He learned all night the halachos of Korban Pesach. What is this obviously parallel to? A very parallel story. We recited in the Haggadah, Maisa Belezer Rishur Belezman, is that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shem Yisubim B'nei Brak, Vayim Asapra Metis Mitzrayim, Ko Oso Laila. And what emerges is two different orientations to what is central at Lel Seder. Is it the Korban Pesach? Or is it the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Rabbi Gamliel is consistent on the focus, not just in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, but even afterwards. But the focus is on the Korban Pesach. Al Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva, etc., speak about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I think we can sharpen this even further. What does Rabbi Gamliel mean when he says, Koshlo Amar Shosha Dvaram Elo B'Pesach Lo Yati Yedei Chavaso Pesach Matzumar? What chiv are you not being yotze? What would you say? What chiv? What does Rabbi Gamliel mean? If you look at source number 12, what chiv is Rabbi Gamliel talking about when he says that if you don't mention these three things, you're not yotze yedei chavaso? What chiv? Sorry. The one possibility is you're not yotzei sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. You need to talk about the mitzvot, a Pesach Matzah Mar, to be yotzei sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. Keep that in mind. Look what the Ramban says. In source number 13, the Ramban of Melchamos is explaining what the phrase lo yotzei yedei chavaso means. And brachos, nothing to do with Pesach. And he says lo yotzei yedei chavaso means you don't fully fulfill, you don't completely fulfill the chiyuv. And he brings an example. If you look by the bold, v'shiniru ki yotzeba, ko shlo amar gimel dvarim elu v'pesach lo yotzei yedei chavaso, v'lo sheyitzorach lachzor v'lechol pesach matzor mar. The chiyuv that Rabbi Gamliel is talking about is the chiyuv of pesach matzor mar. That you need the sipur, you need words, you need to explain the Pesach Matzah Mar, in order to fully be yotzeh, so you don't have to be chozer and eat it again. The chiyuv he's talking about is Pesach Matzah and Mar. The relationship is said in a similar way, perhaps even more pronounced, in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Rosenzweig, pointed out to me in our conversation this Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And when the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos mentions the mitzvah naseh that the Rambam didn't put in, says one of them is Berchas HaTorah. Berchas HaTorah is a separate mitzvah naseh. Separate mitzvah naseh. And then at the end of it, he says, and don't think that that's so strange. You can have the bracha to the content, to the tochen, to the Torah, even the bracha, which gives context to the content, even that's going to be a separate mitzvah to say. Don't think that's so strange. If you look at source number 14 in the bold, Mikol zeh nitbaer, shebracha zu min haTorah, ve'ein ra'i lemnoso mitzvah achas emakriya, kamo shemikra bikurim eno nimna achas emavaso, v'sipur yitzis mitzrayim emachilas pesach. Berachas HaTorah is listed separately. It's not together with Talmud Torah. It's a separate mitzvah. Like Mikra Bikurim, the essence of Bikurim is bringing the Bikurim, the Aveta. But Mikra Bikurim, the words give context to what that is. Similar to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Karban Pesach. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a separate mitzvah. It gives context to the Karban Pesach. And I don't think coincidentally, what is it that we say in Mikra Bikurim? By the way, what parsha do we say? Arami Ovid Avi. And in mind. Arami Ovid Avi, you say both, in both of this, the connection that the Ramban is making. So really fundamentally, the question to ask is something perhaps even more nuanced, which is the Sipur a means to provide context for the mitzvot? Or are the mitzvot a means to provide context for the Sipur? And the Rambam says, like you said, that lo yatzidei chavaso means, if you look at source number 15, the Rambam says, mitzvah seishal Torah, l'saper benisim unuflos, mitzvah lo'odia, and if you look at Halacha, he says, kol mi shalo amar divrei elu b'lach chamisha asar, lo yatzei yedei chovaso. And that's what he says is Haggadah, it's the Sipur you're not being yotze. But the Rambam, Rabbi Gamliel, is saying you need to mention Pesach, Matzah, and Marah in order for the Sipur to be full. In fact, the Rav, you look in source number 16, the Rav adds to this, and says that this is the enriched concept of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the famous paragraph of the Reb Chaim in the stencils, Reb Chaim the Haggadah, about what are the differences between Zechira and Sipur, including the Shelot, the questions. In Sipur, we ask questions and we give answers and we're learning, as opposed to Zechir when you just say it. So the Rav says another difference. If we look at 16, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim contains within it two elements. One is the recitation of certain passages. Second is the element of performing certain actions, eating of certain foods. When one eats matzah, marah, and karban pesach on the Seder night, one fulfills these specific mitzvahs. However, in addition, through the eating of these foods, one is able to teach and convey the messages of Gulat Mitzrayim. They function as audiovisual aids in our educational scheme, namely the Seder. This is what Rabbi Gamliel, according to the Rambam, was trying to convey. We wanted the Jew, before it partakes of the foods, to explain their significance and message to all who are at this table. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a careful blend of narrative teaching and actions to get across a unified message. Question is, of course, these exist separately as independent mitzvot. When we look at their connection to each other, which one is giving context to the other? Is the essence the mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah, the karban pesach? And you'd say the words about why we eat the Pesach, why we eat the matzah, why we eat the maror, to give more meaning to the Maisa mitzvah that we're doing? Or, as the Rav is saying, the mitzvot themselves help us understand the greater story. Story is what is essential. The story of Mitzrayim is what is essential. The story of the Jewish people. And you can't understand the story of the Jewish people without the mitzvot. It could be these two perspectives, I'll leave you to look at it yourself, might be both in the Rambam. Mori Rabbi, Rabbi Rosenzweig, suggested to me that Perek Zayin and Perek Chet in the Rambam and Hilchos Chametz Matzah actually might be Zayin tells the story of the Haggadah through Sipor's eyes and Chet through the mitzvot eyes. The Rabbi Gamliel is repeated twice. So one could be in the context of the Haggadah, of the Sipor, the mitzvot, adding context to the story, and the other could be the story infusing meaning in the mitzvah. This is the underlying machlokas, I would suggest, through the Lel HaSeder, through Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, and afterwards, is the ikur, the ritual, the mitzvah, or is it the story, the narrative? L'maisa, what do we do on Haggadah and the Lel HaSeder? What do we do? Which one do we do? The more like Rabbi Akiva, more like Rabbi Gamliel? Like every good Jewish answer, we do both. So we have, of course, the Maisa that we tell over is not Rabbi Gamliel sitting in Lud learning Pesach, but all the rabbis together in Bnei Brak telling over the story on the one hand. On the other hand, we quote Rabbi Gamliel about Lo Yatzi Yedei Chavaso Pesach Matzah Mar. On the one hand, we have the Arba Banim, and we're telling the story to the next generation. And at the same time, we answer the Chacham. How do we answer the Chacham? That you teach the Chacham what? All of Hilchos Pesach, including Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikom. So what you have in our Seder is actually mixtures of both, which could be the Rambam both in Perek Zayin and Perek Chet. We do both. We do both, I would suggest, because both the lived experience of doing the mitzvot in the company of our family, neighbors, and chabura, as well as placing ourselves in the grand narrative of the larger Jewish story, are essential. Both the what we do and why we do it. Both the content and the context are significant. This is an essential issue to understand, not just for Pesach, but for our lives. Each of our lives here in Yeshiva Baruch Hashem are filled with activities. Study Torah, we study Mada, we daven, we do mitzvot, banadam lechavero, banadam lemakom, each and every day. And it's a blessing. Question that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim beckons us to consider is not just the maisa mitzvot and activities of our day, but the story of our lives. And for me, the best expression of this point is found in the Gemara in Shabbat, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara is based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. If you look at source number 20, Vaya emunasi techa, chosein yeshuos chachma, chachmas vadas, loosely translated that wisdom and knowledge will be the faith of your times and the strength of your salvation. Yiras Hashem, hi otzoro, Yiras Hashem is the treasure. So if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos in the last page, Rava is Doresh from this pasuk, that at the end of your days, Admeya ve'esrim shana, you will be asked six questions. Amar Rava. This is what you're asked, and he's dorishit from the words of this pasuk. Amuna sitecha, chosin yeshuot, chachmas vadas. Nesata v'nesata v'amuna. I understand of you done business, not just with integrity and honesty, but with emuna, with faith. You have faith in Hashem and you're in business. The highs and the lows are very different when you have emuna, when you're being, when you're in your transactions. Gavati itam l'Torah. Have you established time and made sure that Torah is an essential part of your day? And also, kavata Torah, kavata itam l'Torah. Have you set your perspective on the times through the prism of the Torah, as opposed to kavata Torah le'itim, setting the Torah by the prism of the times? Asakta b'puri v'rivya, which is about not just having children, but devoting yourself to your children and to raising your family. Tzipita liYeshua, which is not chikita liYeshua, not waiting for the Yeshua, which is more of the Rambam's formulation in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, translated Ba'afo Pishit Me'em Zeh Achak Elo. This is not about waiting for the Yeshua, but tzipita liYeshua, like a tzofeh, like somebody who's going out and anticipating and working to bring the Yeshua. Have you looked to bring redemption? The palta b'chachma. Have you enhanced your lives by seeking wisdom? Chachma. And havanta davar mitoch davar, which is not just about critical thinking skills, I think. But have you understood davar mitoch davar? Have you continued to grow in yourself? Davar mitoch davar. These are the six questions that at the end of each of your lives, Rava says you're going to stand before the Kisei HaKavod, Omid Ladin, that you will be asked. Ba'afilu achi, and even so, I yirat Hashem yotzaro in ilolo. The key out of everything is Yiras Shamayim. If you don't have Yiras Hashem, nothing else matters. You have Yiras Hashem, then the answer to these questions will matter. This is an amazing, essential Gemara to know. How incredible would it be for you if before the semester of a difficult course, you already had in front of you the final exam? Rava has given you the questions, and these questions create the story of your lives. They're not about the day-to-day, but the summary at the end of your life. What story will you tell? How will the broader narrative of your entire life address all of these central themes? And there's no one right answer to these questions. Each of you will write your own answer. It's your own story. Each of you, you'll write your answer to these questions based on your unique talents, predilections, and dispositions. But these questions as a whole reflect a rich, multi-layered life filled with Torah, meaning, purpose, kindness, hope, love, contribution, and service. And you might have heard that I recently wrote a book called The Final Exam, Letters to Our Students. Now, my son Benny tells me that some students assume that the book is about tips and how to take tests. That you should study, you should not cheat, things like that. And while I, of course, along with all of our rabbinic authorities, absolutely unequivocally believe that anyone who aspires to be a Ben Torah would only act with the highest level of integrity when taking tests, that is not the focus of this book. The exam that I speak about is not the final on a course at the end of the semester, but the final that Rava says we will all take at the end of our days. And I base the book on this Gemara because I believe that a yeshiva university education prepares you to answer these questions. In my mind, this Gemara is essential to understand our yeshiva and our philosophy. In fact, this was the text that stood before me as the basis of the five core Torah values. It actually is this Gemara. When I started as the president of YU, my goal was to institute first a growth strategy, like with Dr. Belkin, with new programs and markets, upgraded education to meet the expanded educational opportunities of today, which Baruch Hashem, with much siyata d'shmaya, we've been able to do. 25 new programs, over 1,000 new students, new intellectual and professional opportunities for you. And that growth continues, Baruch Hashem, with only siyata d'shmaya. Nothing one can accomplish in life. Nothing. It's the most essential lesson as you leave. Everything is siyata d'shmaya. But that wasn't the whole goal. The other part was to root our yeshiva in the philosophy that is unique to us. We are not just forward focused, but we are deeply rooted. And it's the deep roots which are the secret to our success. Everything out of Yeshiva University has to start from the Beit Midrash. Everything must be rooted in Torah. But what is the Torah that we teach? This Gemara is a good basis for everything we do at Yeshiva, not just in the hours where you're learning Gemara, but also in the academic parts and in student life on Shabbat and during the week. Our entire holistic educational experience is captured in these questions. Nasata v'nasata b'amunah b'palta b'chachma, professionally and intellectually, educating our students to the lives of faith and wisdom. Havanta davar mitoch davar, to develop the critical thinking skills to apply to the world, to constantly seek growth. Sakta b'puri rivya v'tzipita l'yeshua, to dedicate yourself with love to your family and your community, while being a role model for Klal Yisrael and our entire society to help bring redemption. And of course, being kovei itzim l'Torah, as Talmud Torah is the sine qua non of a life of Torah. This described to me what we're trying to do. Well-rounded, Torah-filled education, model for a life of Yirat Hashem. Now, after taking this position now about 6 years ago, sitting with my Rebbeim, with the Rosh Yeshiva here, with groups of faculty, lay leaders, and students, we formulated the five core Torah values as expressions rooted in the thinking of the Rav to guide us not only in the day-to-day actions, but also so that at the end of our days, we'll be able to tell the larger story about ourselves framed by these questions. And last week, I just heard something astounding. Last week, I presented the book to Rabbi Willig. And I shared with Rabbi Willig what the book is about. And Rabbi Willig told me that, you know, the logo of Yeshiva University, if you look at the logo of Yeshiva University, what's at the center of the logo? What's the brand? Torah Umada. And that actually was new. That changed when YU became university in about 1946. What was the logo of Yeshiva beforehand? So look in your last page over here. I have it quoted for you. You see the logo of YU? I just found this out last week. What was the logo of YU? Do you have it? That on the bottom over there? See the pasuk that's in the middle? The logo of YU, when YU was not YU, it was Yeshiva College and Yeshiva's Ben Yisrael Chanon. The logo was V'haya Emunat Itecha Chosen Yeshuot Chachmas Vadas. That was the logo of YU. And together, they complement each other pretty well. What do we do? Torah Umada. Why do we do it? V'haya Emunat Itecha. Our studies, Torah Umada. Who do we wish to become? V'haya Emunat Itecha Chosen Yeshuot Chachmas Vadas Yiras Hashem Hiyotzara. That's it. Final exam. This is our institution. And this is what Pesach is about. It's an interplay between mitzvot and story, in which the story of Mitzrayim both enriches and is enriched by the performance of the mitzvot. To broaden the point, the story is like a vertical. It takes us back to the past and into the future. Where does the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim begin? Where does the story begin? It's earlier than Mitzrayim. Where does it begin? Mitzchilu hayu avoseinu hayu ovdei avodah zarah, arami oved avi. It begins with Avraham. It starts Terach, the switch, Terach and Avraham. Where does it end? Where does the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim end in the Haggadah? Where does it end? Way past Egypt. Shvoch hamascha, nishmas kol chai, l'shana haba, Yerushalayim habnuya. It begins, the vertical that begins really with Abraham, or if I had to be more meticulous, at Har Sinai with the story of Abraham, and it ends at the Geula Shlema. It ends l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim haba. The story is not over. We are in the middle of it. And we pass it down from generation to generation. That's the vertical, the past to the future. The mitzvot, specifically Karban Pesach, is the horizontal. It brings together the people who are accompanying us on our journey. We do not eat the Karban Pesach alone. It's actually a day that you cannot eat the Karban Pesach alone, but with others, family, members of the household, neighbors, b'nei chabura. We are directed to expand ourselves, not just to think of ourselves and our own food, but others in our circles as well. We stand in the middle of these lines, horizontally with the mitzvot and the great story, and vertically. We do the mitzvot, which directs us outwards, horizontally, kol dichven yesei v'yecho, all the arbamanim have a place at our table, but we do so in the context of a much larger story. The mishpachotam, the beit avotam, the nuclear family unit, parents, children, grandchildren, is a microcosm of this vertical horizontal nexus between past and future and those we walk with in life. It is our grandparents and our parents who transmit the story, who bring us into the larger narrative of the Jewish people, so that we in turn bring into the story our children and grandchildren. And at the same time, it is the nuclear family who make up the core of the people we surround ourselves with and all of our activities and ma'aseh mitzvot who accompany us through our lives. I have to say that personally, I approach this year's Seder knowing that it will be very different for me, that not everyone will be at my table. But I am thankful to have had my father all of these years as my guide and support. He not only gave me his wisdom, but his memory. He gave me his father and his father before him. He carried his tunes, transmitted his customs, and brought me back, father to father, back to Sinai. Even as he expanded my sense of connection and responsibility to my siblings, cousins, and rest of Am Yisrael, he helped me locate myself within the larger story of the Jewish people. And this is the goal for all of us, to find ourselves, develop ourselves in service to others within the context of this larger story, to take all the people around us and with us and move the Jewish story forward. Pesach, we're directed to ask a lot of questions. On this Pesach, my suggestion is not simply to ask others questions, but ask yourself questions. Not just about the Jewish story, but your story. How are you answering the questions that will be posed to you at the end of your days? How are you locating yourself within the greater narrative of the Jewish people? Ultimately, everything we do, Karban Pesach and Sipur, Asata v'nasata v'amuna and Papalta b'chachma, is about Yirat Shemayim and how close we come to Hashem. Hakol lichvodo. Every single thing we do in our day, all of our actions, are to bring honor to Hashem. That Hashem loves us each unconditionally, we all know. That we make the name of Hashem more beloved in this world, that's our ultimate goal. Let me close then on this Arab Rosh Chodesh Nisan with two final thoughts. First, no coincidences. Hashem has everything planned. It happens to be that today is the beginning of our annual day of giving. We'll run through tomorrow on Rosh Chodesh. Now, this completes the 10 days of giving. Aseres Yemei HaGiving started at Yom HaKahal. So for those of you who are watching at home, or those here yet who have not contributed, or have friends or family who did not yet contribute to Yom HaKahal, it's all part of the same 10 days. Now is a good time to contact them. Giving.yu.edu, giving.yu.edu. This yeshiva means so much, has given each of us so much. Please pay it forward by ensuring the scholarships for future students to attend as well. That's first of all. Second, and finally, with all I have learned since arriving back at YU to assume this role, one constant that has stayed all throughout from the beginning, now, and I know all into the future, is my belief in you, our students. I am here, your rabbis, faculty, professionals, all, we are all here because we believe in you. Knowing you, we are confident in your final exam, that you will continue to lead lives of impact and leadership, contribution, and inspiration. I just want to take this moment to wish each of you a joyful holiday ahead with much love and laughter, Avat Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, meaning and purpose. And we all merit to celebrate the complete redemption together, L'Shana Haba, Yerushalayim, Habibia. Those guys.